Welcome back to Ball Year Round Podcast. This week we have on Coach Jared Calhoun from Youngstown State University. He's the head coach over there, and Coach Calhoun's journey to becoming a head coach is pretty interesting. Coach started off as a player at Villa Angela St. Joseph High School as a standout player in Cleveland, Ohio. And then after that, he attended Cleveland State University, where he played for Coach Rolly Massimino. And after, his time at Cleveland State, he moved on to Cincinnati, where he was a student assistant under Coach Bob Huggins at West Virginia University. And after that, that is where Coach, moved on to get his first post-graduation job at Walsh University, where he's a part of their NAIA National Championship squad in 2005. And then after that, Coach Calhoun moved on with Coach Huggins at West Virginia University. And then in 2012, he got his first opportunity as a head coach at D2 Fairmont State University. Okay, he was there for six seasons. And while there at six seasons, he was 124-38. And that's where they made their first ever title game appearance in 2017, made a great run there. And that is when Coach Calhoun later moved on and was the 13th head coach at Youngstown State University. And without any further ado, welcome Coach Calhoun. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Love your Mountaineer shirt there. Just got into the great state of West Virginia today, actually driving to see my mom here in West Virginia. So I'm excited to be on and answer anything you guys want to talk about.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on, Coach. And we really appreciate you. And I remember you, from the West Virginia days, honestly. And that was where I was like super excited to, get a chance to talk with you a little bit. And, kind of my first question was, what was it like playing at the legendary St. Joe's?
I've been pretty fortunate, to be at some pretty good stops. And it really started for me in high school, when I decided to attend Villa Angela St. Joe's. It just has such great tradition from Clark Kellogg to Desmond Howard, London Fletcher, Mel Levitt. It goes on and on. Tony Miller. So every day, when you walked into that place, there was an aura about it. It was a special place. I was very fortunate to play for a great coach in Ted Kwasniak. He kind of took me under his wing and would not be here today, Andy, without him. He played a big role in my life. And that's really where I wanted to start coaching. The way he ran our program was family oriented. And I just loved it. Unfortunately, we didn't win a state championship, but ran into some great teams, had some great runs. And, I thought my senior year we'd win it, but there was a guy named LeBron James that was pretty good. And he had something, to say about it that year. But no, great place, man.
Awesome. No, that's so great to hear. And, were there any games that you really remember, Coach, that were like your favorite ones that really stick out to you?
Yeah, there's two. In Northeast Ohio, basketball is really big. Yep. Football is really big as well. So we played down at Camp McKinley. Fieldhouse played against McKinley Bulldogs. Place was sold out my senior year. And we went down there and played a great game and beat them in front of a packed house. And then I would say my senior year against LeBron, and one of my best friends is Maverick Carter. He and I grew up together. So we played AAU together, slept at each other's house every weekend. And there was a lot on the line in that game. Whoever won that game went to the state tournament. Yep. And they went on and won a state championship in the regional final. But that was another game that was at the Canton Fieldhouse there in Canton. It was sold out. Never forget afternoon game. And we fell a little bit short. But, all the games at home back then at St. Joe's, they were packed. People love basketball up there in Cleveland. So it was an awesome environment.
That's so awesome to hear, just especially that, that Cleveland environment and, hearing that is like, it just makes me extra excited. And, Coach, as far as that, playing for a legendary coach, how did you know that you wanted to, what was it that made you know you wanted to coach?
I love basketball. I grew up playing at the park, playing outside, had an older brother that played. We had some battles in the yard. And then once I became really into it, I kind of knew who I was. I knew my limitations. I was a great shooter, very, very good high school player, very average college player, walked on at Cleveland State. And then knew I wanted to get into coaching, you know, when I left Bill Angelus St. Joe's and Ted Kwasniak, just the way he ran it, family atmosphere. And then I got real fortunate, you know, when I went to college to play for a Hall of Famer in Raleigh Massimino. And that's really where my coaching, it kind of reaffirmed that I wanted to coach.
Most definitely.
Now, the game against LeBron, did you ever find yourself stuck on the wing ISO'd against him, or were you able to avoid him for the most part that night?
Well, honestly, Mike, he was a young kid. You know, I was a senior. He was a freshman. He was about 6'4", 180 pounds. I'll never forget. My high school coach saw him play earlier in the year. He came back and said he just saw the greatest high school player he's ever seen. And for him to say that, that's a pretty big statement, because he had been around for 40 years. You know, he's seen the Clark Kelloggs, the Reuben Patterson, some of the great players out of Cleveland. He's certainly seen the greatest, great players out of, Ohio. So when he said that, I knew LeBron was the real deal. And then obviously my relationship with Maverick, I was fortunate, to be around those guys. And so I knew he was the guy. I think he ended up having 20 points in that game as a freshman. And then they went undefeated. You know, they beat us, I think, by 8. And then they went on and won a state championship. And the rest is history. You know, LeBron is obviously one of the greatest, if not the greatest.
Absolutely. Was Maverick Carter, a good hooper with you back on that day?
Yeah, Mike, he was really good.
Went to the office.
Yeah, no, he was, Mav was really good. You know, he ended up playing at Western Michigan, was really, really good. He was first team all state. He was the player of the year that year. He actually beat out LeBron for that honor. And I thought he was the leader of that team. Mav could really play, man. He was a good player.
Awesome. No, that's great to hear. And coach, after, you know, your time at Cleveland State with Coach Massimino, how did you kind of move on to that role as a student assistant at Cincinnati with Coach Huggins?
Yeah, great story, Andrew. So I got done playing, Coach Massimino and their staff got fired. So I was really, really disappointed that they got let go. I was kind of heartbroken. I was coaching an AAU team. At that time, they were called the Cleveland Basketball Club, ran by Mike Duncan. And I would not be in the position I am today without Mike Duncan. He introduced me to Coach Huggins and a lot of college coaches because he knew I wanted to coach. And me and Coach Huggins really hit it off. I wanted to go down there and be a student assistant. I begged him, to let me help the program. Yep. And, I was so fortunate that he allowed me to do that. So I left Cleveland State as a player, decided to get into coaching, be a student assistant, and just learned from a great staff. Obviously, Huggs, Hall of Famer. But on that staff at the time was Dan Peters. He ended up helping me get my very first full-time assistant job at Walsh. But Andy Kennedy was on that staff, you know, head coach at Ole Miss, now at UAB, Keith Legree, very good assistant coach. So those guys really took me under their wing, and just watching them daily, work with the players, build a relationship with the players. The X's and O's part led me to get my first full-time head job, at Walsh University as an assistant with the great coach and Jeff Young. But my time at Cincinnati really set me up for that because Dan Peters and Coach Huggins helped me get that job.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. And two, like, what was something that you kind of were, you know, when you explained it to Coach, like, hey, I want to be a part of this, what was it, your role that you kind of found your way in?
Well, at that time I was basically, done playing. I knew basketball for me as far as overseas was going to be done. So I just wanted to get to the collegiate level. I didn't care what it took. I would do anything, mop the floors, do the laundry, you name it. I really thought that I could be an extra guy to help work out the players, assist the assistant coaches. And that's really what it became. It became a student assistant type role where I was able to work with some of the guys. I was taking classes myself. So now I was in classes with the players, building the relationship with them on and off the court. It taught me a great deal. It was the first time I was around high level basketball. At Cleveland State, we were a mid-major. walk into Cincinnati and there's four guys that went on to play in the NBA. So we were a top 10 team in the country all year. Just to see those guys compete every single day, day in and day out, whether it was on the floor, in the weight room, just the talent that we had was unbelievable. But, you know, watching Coach Huggins, game plan, get ready for a team, get ready for practice, in-game adjustments. It was an incredible experience for such a guy at such a young age.
Absolutely.
That must have been a pretty incredible experience, like you're saying, with the future NBA guys there. You had Max Cilia, James White, Tony Bobbitt. What was that like walking into practice every day and you had, NBA talent kind of just flying around the gym?
Yeah, it was incredible. It made practices really good. Robert Whaley was on that team as well. He was a pro. So we had four NBA guys on that roster, a couple front court players, a couple wings, a couple guards, just seeing those guys compete every day and then putting in the time after, after the practices taught me a great deal at a young age, how hard you got to go to make it. But it was a special time, then to see the fan base at the University of Cincinnati, every game was sold out. Coach Huggins and the Bearcats, they were rock stars. The support that they got from that city, it was crazy, guys. I mean, it was an incredible experience walking out every game, sold out 13,000 every game. And it didn't matter who we played. The Bearcats were the biggest show in town.
Yeah. Did they have enough weights on campus for Jason Maxfield to throw around for?
Well, Max Seal, Eric Hicks. I mean, we had some really, really tough, athletic, strong guys that were relentless on the basketball court.
I remember Eric Hicks. Wow, is he so strong. You're right about that, Coach, man. Absolutely. And, kind of after that part, like, what kind of led to the part, moving on with, Coach Huggins?
I got offered the assistant job at Walsh. Obviously, Coach Huggins was a huge part of it. That's where he started off as a head coach and really put Walsh on the map and built that into a great basketball program. But Dan Peters was our associate head coach at Cincinnati. One of his best friends in the whole wide world is a guy named Jeff Young. He was currently the head coach at Walsh, and he made that connection for me. Helped me get the job there at Walsh. And it was a tough decision. I didn't know if I wanted to be a graduate assistant somewhere, stay at the University of Cincinnati as a GA. And talking with Coach Huggins, he gave me great advice. He said, what's your ultimate goal? And at that time, it was to be on the floor. It was to recruit players, to game plan. And he goes, I think you answered your question. You need to go to Walsh and take this job and then work your way back up. And it worked out. Our first year we win the national championship. I'm a 22, 23 year old assistant. I said, man, this is easy. Our first year we win a national title, NAI national championship. We had a player get drafted in the NBA draft in Robert Whaley. It was just an unbelievable first year. We all came together, new coaching staff, new team. The year before, I believe they had won 8 games. And 8 months later, we win the national championship. So that really catapulted our run at Walsh. I think we won 85 games in 3 years at Walsh. Multiple guys went on to play overseas. And that thing just, it became a power very, very quick.
Most definitely. And that's where I kind of wanted to double back as far as, making that decision where a lot of people would want to go to that higher level, And when you said you were like the right decision for you and taking that advice, how does it take like a mature coach to make a decision like that and to be able to listen to somebody, even though it's not necessarily the level they want and picture themselves at, but it's the best level for them?
Yeah. At that time, Andy, I didn't know anything. I was just a young guy that I knew I wanted to coach. I didn't really care about the levels. My path's been a little bit unconventional. I've never really chased a whole lot of, higher level jobs or whatever you want to call it. Just try to do the best you can at the job you have and make it the best job in the world has really been my path. And at the time when we went into Walsh, I had to coach golf. I had to clean up bingo. It wasn't just be a basketball coach. So some of those, lessons that I learned, and a lot of the different duties that I had, back then really helped me for, you know, when I became a head coach. And I it was three of my favorite years in coaching. Obviously, we won a lot of games. That makes it even more fun. But some of those relationships with those players still to this day are some of my best friends. Jeff Young is one of my best friends. I think one of the most underrated coaches in the country. Just did a fabulous job. And just to learn from him every day and to learn, you know, with somebody different. You know, I spent all that time with Coach Huggins and his staff the first year, to be able to go with Jeff for 3 years and really get my feet wet in recruiting, in game plan, you know, on the court in practice. He allowed me to do a lot. So that was a really good step for me.
Most definitely. Absolutely, Coach. And one more question about Walsh. Did you have an opportunity to kind of create a recruiting strategy? And if you did, kind of how did you go about that?
I think that's a really good question. Yeah. You know, at that time, we wanted to do a tremendous job within really a 4 or 5 hour radius. So we wanted to know every single player within a 4 or 5 hour radius. Back then, we did a ton of handwritten notes. So I would write all of our top recruits every single week. You know, I can't imagine some of the mail that those players got back then. You know, I got in my car and I drove everywhere to try to build those relationships with AAU guys, with high school players. And then my big philosophy was, we would bring them in for unofficial visits and do these recruiting weekends where we would do 40, 50 kids at a time and then allow them to see our campus. And back then at NAI, you didn't have a lot of rules. We ended up having a lot of different open gyms where they would play. We get a chance to evaluate. And that's where I stumbled upon a young man named Norris Cole. Andy, I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but Norris Cole was committed to Walsh University. You know, there's 13 Division I schools in Ohio. Yes. Nobody in the state of Ohio offered Norris Cole scholarship. So I got a tip on Norris and actually had him committed to Walsh University before I left and you know, took us a job at West Virginia. He was committed to us at Walsh. Of course, he went on to win 2 NBA championships, still playing overseas and doing a fabulous job. But back then, you know, social media, Twitter, Instagram, all these different sites, there was none of that. So you were able to find some sleepers. And we tried to do that. And Norris was one of those guys that we were able to get, but unfortunately never coached, but just a crazy story in itself.
Absolutely. And it seems like that's kind of been your, you know, your way. You've always been able to see the talent. You trusted your eye and, you know, kind of, you know, moving from that, even, you know, just going to West Virginia and helping that team, you know, and build their roster because you were, you know, part of that recruiting coordinators and working with that. So what was that like once you moved on from Walsh to West Virginia?
Yeah, you know, so I leave Walsh and get a chance to be reunited with Coach Huggins at West Virginia. You know, I don't think at the time I could, I didn't realize, you know, the impact that Coach Huggins coming back to West Virginia would have on the state. You know, what he's been able to accomplish at West Virginia is incredible. From the Final Four, Sweet 16s, building a $30 million practice facility. It was unbelievable. You know, our first year we go to the Sweet 16. Second year we lose pretty early. Come back in year three, our guys had a major chip on their shoulder, end up going to the Final Four. So our first, you know, 3 years, we go Sweet 16 and a Final Four, just an incredible, incredible run in a great program. You know, it's hard to describe if you're not from the state, you haven't been to games inside the state of West Virginia, what the Mountaineers mean to the state. It's just there's very few universities around the country that have that kind of impact on people day in and day out. And they loved the Mountaineers. And it was an unbelievable experience. You know, for 4 years, I was a director of basketball operations. So I was managing budgets, doing travel, running camps, doing a little bit of everything, things that I never had to do as an assistant at Walsh. So Coach Huggins lets you be very hands-on. You get to do a lot, you know, when kids would come in for recruiting visits, setting up hotels, setting up the schedule, setting up meals at home, on the road. And then, you know, being able to work my way up to an assistant coach and now recruiting high level players. It was just another stop that helped me prepare to be a head coach. And I was very, very fortunate to work with Coach Huggins because he allowed you to do a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to circle back on Norris Cole, he actually ended up playing at Cleveland State. Did you have anything to do with that as a former Cleveland State guy?
You know what, Mike? I didn't. I'll never forget. I was in the Walsh parking lot when he called. We were talking, and I just let him know that I took the spot at West Virginia and I wasn't going to be at Walsh. And we both mutually kind of agreed that Cleveland State would be a great thing for him. You know, he called to let me know he was going there. And obviously me playing there, I had nothing but great things to say. And it's worked out for both of us. And we've kept in touch 20 years later. You know, he actually awesome. Spoke to my team this year when we were in quarantine. He got on and talked to the, you know, my Penguin guys, my Youngstown State guys. And, you know, he's one of the best players to ever come out of our league, the Horizon League. So it was a really good story.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great. You mentioned you were doing a lot of the like more front office almost kind of work with basketball operations. Was that the Big 12 transition? Was that 2012? Were you there for that situation?
Yeah, we were back then, Mike. We were the Big East. So, you know, that third year we went on and won the Big East championship and went to the Final Four. So, yeah, you know, that was all my 5 years we were Big East. And then as soon as I left, they were transitioning into the Big 12. So I only got to see New York City, Villanova. You know, back then the Big East was loaded. Some of the players and teams that I was able to see up close, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, Coach, we just had Eric Diefendorf on. So we were talking a little bit about.
Yeah, we played against Eric a lot, man.
Yeah, man. So we were talking about those battles and how the Big East was and all the NBA talent and just overseas talent in general. It was just and it was all so tight knit and close. So those were some of the best battles and some of the times we missed. And, you know, and from that 2011, that transition as, you know, kind of moving on, like with Fairmont State, you know, how did that kind of come about?
Yeah, Andrew, great story, man. A lot of people thought I was crazy for leaving an assistant spot at West Virginia, getting ready to go in the Big 12, working for a Hall of Fame coach that pretty much had a lifetime contract to go take a Division II head job. How it came about, I give Fairmont a lot of credit, man. They were very, very resilient in trying to get me to come down there. It was only 20 minutes south of Morgantown. My wife went to school there. So she had some great things to say about Fairmont State. Went down to visit, and I fell in love with the place. The campus is incredible, about 5,000 students. You can walk everywhere. The arena was very, very big, but it was very, very old. You know, the locker room was very, very big, but very old. So when I left there, I think my wife thought there was absolutely zero chance I was going to take the job. And in fact, my brain was going 100 miles an hour of how we were going to fundraise and redo the gym, redo the locker room, you know, make a new theater room. You know, my son was with us and he was disappointed because he wanted to go into the Big 12 and see games at Kansas and Texas, you know, and some of these neat arenas. So he was really not for it at all. But, you know, it was the best decision of my life. You know, it's a big decision. Anytime you're making that leap of faith, a great situation at West Virginia. But Coach Huggins gave me great advice. I wanted to be a head coach. I felt like we could build Fairmont State into a national power. And in 5 years, we were able to get the program where it needed to be. We played for a national title. We were number one team in the country the entire year. We redid the locker room, brand new $150,000 locker room. We redid the arena and we redid and made the basketball team a theater room. So we upgraded the facilities, put the program back where it needed to be. You know, the community loves basketball in Fairmont. So it was a great 5 year run. And, you know, I cried like a baby when I left. You know, I was excited, but also cried because I knew the type of job I was leaving, man. People really cared about hoops in Fairmont, West Virginia.
Yeah, most definitely. And that those runs were awesome. And I'm not sure during that time, Coach, like, what was it like? There had to be a little bit of a down point, a little bit. Like, what was it that you kind of like picked your team up and got everybody to buy into what you wanted to do at Fairmont?
Yeah, it was after the first two games. We were 0-2. We had just lost to an NAI school. And I said, what in the heck did I get myself into? You know, why did I leave that $30 million practice facility in Bob Huggins? Do I really want to call my own plays and build this program? But a lot of buy-in from them seniors that I inherited. A kid named Isaac Thornton really had a big impact on my coaching career at Fairmont. He decided to stay and play for us. And it was a very, very bumpy ride at first. But we were able to have the biggest turnaround in school history that first year. The year before, they won 8 games. I think we were able to win 20-something. Played in the NCAA tournament. It was the first time they had played in a few years. And it just got the momentum. You know how everything is, Andrew. It's all about momentum. You know, you get that good momentum, good players. And then we just tapped into Ohio. We got a lot of good Ohio players on board in those 5 years, mostly high school players. We got West Virginia kids to stay home. We got a few kids out of Charlotte, a few kids out of Virginia. And the chemistry we had in those 5 years, it's a brotherhood, man. It's guys that we still talk to weekly, whether it's a coach, a manager, a player. That chemistry was very, very real those 5 years.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm not sure, do you remember Kenzie Melko?
Yep, I recruited Kenzie. Yeah, I recruited Kenzie with Joe Mazzulla. So Joe Mazzulla, you know, was on my staff. He actually played for us at West Virginia, starting point guard on that Final Four team. Joe did a tremendous job recruiting Kenzie. But yeah, Kenzie, I never got to coach. So the first year he was in our program, he was a redshirt. Probably the best thing that he did was redshirt. He matured. And then when I left and those seniors left, he had a great, great 4-year run.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely. That was the part that I remember. And I just always would talk to him a little bit because I had coached him a little while I was with a coach at Morgantown a little. And it was just like, man, this could be the best opportunity for you. And it was like with the best coaching staff to provide that support, man. And like, that's why I say, coach, it was amazing. And kind of with that run with the champion, like going to that championship game, what was that run like?
Oh man, it was incredible. You know, I've been on 3 of those runs, you know, West Virginia Final Four, Walsh, NAI National Championship at Fairmont State runner up. 3 times you're playing deep into March and early April. It's every coach, every player's dream. There's nothing like March Madness. You know, when we won our region in Division II, there's 8 different regions. There's 8 regions around the country. So when we were able to advance to the Elite Eight and make, you know, make our mark and qualify to go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, it was incredible. You know, sold out crowd at Fairmont State. Just to look around and see people crying, the excitement, people hugging, high-fiving. It was just 5 years in the making. It was incredible. And then, you know, of course, we went out there and fell about 10 points short of a national championship. But it's a run I'll never forget. You know, when you're in it, you're in that moment. It's all about the next play, the next preparation, the next day. You kind of don't realize, you know, what you're accomplishing at that particular moment because you're just working so hard from day to day. But looking back on it, you know, obviously I'm in Fairmont right now at my mom's house. Yeah. Every time I come in the town, I drive by the university and then I'll stop in there tomorrow just to see it. You know, you go in there, you look at that banner, the memories come back. You know, it's just a special feeling for sure.
Most definitely. And, you know, kind of right after that happened, I mean, you know, you know, the moving into Youngstown State, what was that like, you know, that jump and, you know, getting that call?
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, it was, Andrew, very, very fast. Everything happened very, very fast. We lost in the national title on CBS. And a couple hours later, you're being offered the job at Youngstown State. So it came very, very fast. You know, you went from losing a game to feeling sad to, wow, you got an opportunity to live out your dream and coach, be a Division I head coach. At Youngstown State. You know, I had always driven through Youngstown. I'm from Cleveland, which is only an hour away. When you think of Youngstown, you think of football, Jim Tressel, Bo Pelini, the Stoops brothers. We got a lot of history in football. Per capita, we have the most NFL players in the history of the NFL, produced right in Youngstown. So, you know, I knew the league well. I knew the Horizon League with playing at Cleveland State. And obviously President Tressel was a big reason I decided to take the job. Our athletic director, Ron Strollo, was instrumental in me coming here. We really shared the same vision on how we wanted to build the program with high school players and really get Youngstown to a point where we're producing a winning program and our kids are in the community. They're graduating, and it's been an awesome 5 years. You know, you talk about Andy building the program, and we're doing that all over again. You know, we're going into year five. We're coming off back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in a very, very long time. We feel really confident about our team, very similar to year five at Fairmont. You know, we feel good going into the season. We had the highest GPA in the history of our program at about a 3.7. So we got good people. We're excited. You know, we've been able to upgrade the facilities, and it's been a great run. And, you know, we're looking forward to this year. Got to get you guys up to a game, man.
Oh, we definitely.
Yeah, we'd love to. Yeah, absolutely. Like you're saying, that, you know, Cleveland area has a bit of, you know, football history, but there's plenty of basketball talent coming out of, you know, Ohio and, you know, those areas for sure. But Youngstown State, you were saying the schedule you know, you're looking forward to this year. We were looking at the schedule. It looks like it's not a full schedule. Is that kind of how it's rolling right now with the fluid situation that is COVID and stuff? Or
No, we're back to normal. We're going to play 22 league games, Mike, this year. Nice. So it'll be the most league games of anybody in the country, more in the Big Ten, the SEC, and some of the Power Five. So we have 12 teams. We'll play everybody twice. That'll be 22 league games. And then we got 9 opportunities outside of the league play. We got 2 high major teams. We're opening up at Penn State November 10th, Wednesday night. That's going to be an exciting game for our kids. We got West Virginia, December 22nd. In West Virginia to wrap up our game 3 with them. We did a 2-for-1. And then we got 7 other opportunities that we're excited about. Of the 9 non-league games, 6 of them are at home and 3 are on the road. So, you know, our schedule's in good shape as far as the ratio of home to away games. Excited about that, and excited about hopefully getting fans back in the building, guys. This year was crazy. You know, you're walking out, you're hearing announcers. You're hearing all your players. We want to hear the fans. I want to hear the bands. I want to hear the screaming, the yelling, the cheering. There's nothing that's better than that in sports, is to see people in those stands. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll see that this year.
Yes, that's good to hear. I was looking at Youngstown State's men's basketball website, and the schedule, I guess it's just showing the non-league games is what it's showing. But West Virginia, are you excited to get back there and hopefully upset your old mentor?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm 0-for-3. So, you know, if I'm ever going to beat them, we're going to play really well. We've had some good games with them. You know, 2 years ago, they came to Youngstown. We played them pretty well. You know, they beat us up pretty good a couple years before that. I played them once at Fairmont State, you know, when I was a head coach there. So, you know, it sounded like a good idea playing them, but now, and then when you actually do got to go play them and you see them at, you know, on that other end, yeah, it's a lot harder than I originally thought, probably.
Yeah, like we were talking about with walking into the gym at Cincinnati, he doesn't have many non-NBA talent potential players on his roster, and that has continued.
Not only that, Mike, I mean, his team. They just, it's so hard. You know, he's such a great defensive coach. Every basket, every pass is hard, you know, but that's a test to him and in their program.
Yeah, we certainly enjoyed that, especially while you were there as an assistant. That was a great run of, you know, some full court presses and some good talent running around. So that's awesome. I see you got an extension this year. That must feel great to have the support of, you know, your powers that be at the university, and, you know, like you're saying, have that time to build a program. It seems like you've turned the corner, and you know, the sky's the limit for what happens in the next few years here. But what was that like to get that kind of vote of support?
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, it was good. You know, I think anytime you know, you can get extended and get a little bit of security and comfort, but really it just kind of shows you that the administration, we're all on the same page, everything's moving in the right direction. Yeah, really, really excited. You know, my girls love it. You know, my wife is a West Virginia girl from Wheeling, but we're trying to get her, you know, her roots in Ohio now. I've taken her out of the state, but she loves it as well. And we're an hour from my son, which is, he's in Cleveland. So my brother lives about an hour or two from us. So all our family is very, very close. Her family's in Wheeling, just 2 hours away. So it's worked out really well.
That's amazing. So is your, you mentioned you're at your mother's house in Fairmont. So do you have history kind of in West Virginia, or did you just move to Fairmont when you went to Fairmont State kind of thing?
Well, no, I spent 10 years there, obviously at Fairmont and then also at WVU.
Yep.
So I'm 40. So I've spent 10 out of my 40 years. Well, I'm getting ready to be 40 in the state of West Virginia. So, it's really kind of a second home, to be honest with you, Mike. Where do you guys live?
Not a bad second home.
where are you guys at?
I'm in Orlando right now, Coach. That's where I live down here, and I'm working at sales. I was coaching a bit. My last stop was actually at Chipotle for a little while. Come back with my family. But I hope to jump back in it at some point. Yeah. This is my first love. I just got to, you know, my two kids are super young. So, yeah. That's kind of what I'm taking a break on.
How about you, Mike? Where do you live?
I'm from Massachusetts, southeastern Massachusetts. Spent 4 years in West Virginia. That's the place I probably spent the most time out of the state so far. But I just moved to Charleston, South Carolina during the pandemic.
Beautiful.
I figured remote work, might as well just go, you know, remote work from the beach. Why deal with the winter and expensive Boston rent? So I'm living the dream.
Andy, text me Mike's number if I'm down there. I try to get down to Charleston. We spent a lot of time at Hilton Head, so I'll call you.
Oh, no. There's a lot of golfing down here if you're into that kind of thing. I know
not really golfing. I'm just a beach guy.
Okay. I'm 10 minutes from Folly Beach. Come on down.
I love Folly Beach.
Anytime you're in town, I'd be happy to, you know, grab a bite to eat. And, sure you know the lay of the land a little bit. But, Charleston's beautiful. Can't say enough good things about it.
Well, guys, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Coaching. For real, thank you for coming on. This was great, and let's connect at some point whenever you.
Give me your. Make sure I got your numbers, Andy.
Yep, we'll send them to you, Coach.
All right, you guys have a good night.
You too.
Thank you so much for your time, Coach. Good luck this season.
All right, thanks, guys.
See ya.